We open further the Word of God and we read together from Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, and we read through 13, verse 1. Scripture reading is Zechariah chapter 12. We start to read at verse 10. And there we read on till 13, verse 1. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart, all the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. This last verse forms the text for the sermon this morning. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Beloved congregation, you will be aware of the great grief that was present in the country of Judah upon the passing away of King Josiah. He was a greatly beloved king who had done much good for the people. With much self-denial, he truly ministered unto the people, seeking their well-being, their spiritual well-being, seeking them to bring them back to the fear of the Lord, and he was much loved by the people. And when he died, there was a great sorrow in the land of Judah. And every year after that, they had a day of mourning, national mourning, commemorating the death of King Josiah. And so later on, the prophet Zechariah picks up on that, upon that known grief that the people still remembered, and said there will be another day of great grief. And we saw that last week, Lord's Day. Grief, because then the people of Israel would see that they had crucified their Savior, their Messiah, and that they would look upon Him whom they have pierced. And then again there would be a great grief among the people, like it was in the days of Hadad-Rimmon, in the valley of Megiddon, at that place where Josiah had been killed. And so there would be again a great grief, and that grief would be a godly sorrow that they had sinned against the Lord. An initial fulfillment, we saw already last week, was at the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 men were convicted, and they grieved and mourned, realizing that they had sinned, killed their Messiah. They had sinned greatly. And what must we do, men and brethren? There was a beginning of the fulfillment of this prophecy of Zechariah. But we hope and trust and believe that there will be another fulfillment, because the Lord is faithful to His Word, and the Word of God can never be broken. And so there will be grieving among the people of Israel when they will be converted. But it's not only for the people of Israel. This is also something which is experienced in spiritual life. When you realize that you have sinned against the good-doing God, and when you realize that the piercing of the Lord Jesus was because of your sin, and even if you would have been the only one who God would ever say that this piercing was necessary for you, then you also grieve. And you also say that you are the sinner, and that you have done that which is evil in the sight of the Lord. That you have trusted in other things besides or instead of the Lord. And that you have had yourself imagined images of who God is which are not biblical. And that you have not hallowed His name as we should, and so we can continue. But we have sinned against all the 10 commandments of God. And when you realize that, then it's by the operation of the Holy Spirit that a godly sorrow will be wrought in your life. A godly sorrow that works repentance. A repentance you will never regret. And that's what actually these verses refer to. This godly sorrow. And that then there will be a fountain opened to the house of David, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for uncleanness. And we find in this text, obviously, a glorious reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. For we know He is that fountain. He is the fountain opened up for all sin and uncleanness. This is the precious gospel for those who need Him, who realize they have sinned against a good-doing God, who realize they have sinned against God's love, against God's care. And when you feel miserable about yourself, and you realize that you are not what you should have been, then look at this fountain. And the signs of this fountain we will see this morning in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. The fountain set up, opened for sin and for uncleanness. Well, the entire scripture speaks about this sacrifice. It speaks about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sacrifice of the Old Testament pointed forward to this fountain. And the Apostle Paul elaborates on this fountain. The Lord Jesus, the only meriting cause for salvation. And the Gospels explain how this fountain was opened and all what happened. And the Psalms sing about this fountain. And this morning we may drink from this fountain as we eat and drink here at the table. It's a fountain opened. It's for sin and uncleanness. It's not only for the house of David. It's not only for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. No, we know that the blood of the Lord Jesus is sufficient for the sins of the whole world. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And likewise, if we have sinned, we have an intercessor, an advocate with God the Father, that fountain, the blood of Christ. Especially at the Lord's Supper, the best place to meditate upon the blood of Christ when you see these signs It's for all sin and uncleanness. All the sins are washed in His blood. It says in the text, it's for sin and uncleanness in the general way. It doesn't say in the text all. It says it's for sin and uncleanness. That's very universal. That's general. For whatever sin. And so we say for all sin. What a comfort. What a delight. What a rejoicing. And that's why there is a holy feast here this morning at the supper, where you, God's people, may celebrate and commemorate that He is your all in all, that your sins are covered, that He is your salvation. The original guilt, original sin, original declension, it's covered. Your actual sins, the sins of negligence, it's all covered. All our shortcomings. And on top of that, all the righteousness the Lord Jesus accomplished, all His obedience, that is imputed to you, so that God has nothing more to demand of you. And it's all because of this fountain, this blessed Savior, this salvation, Jesus Christ. And this fountain cleanses immediately by looking, by believing, by surrendering, by resting, by hoping upon Him alone. And the smallest faith unites to the full Christ. You don't have to wash yourself 7 times like Naaman the Syrian had to do. No, for you it's only once. It's His honor to heal lost sinners when they flee to Him. Well, who are those people whose sins are washed? We read here the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the house of David. We could think of the house of Levi and the house of Shimei and the house of Nathan. Now, who are they? Well, they are a special kind of people. What kind of people are they? Well, they are the ones who have learned to grieve because of their sin. That's the issue. They grieve. They confess their guilt. They confess their guilt personally before the Lord. They don't want anyone around them. Just them and the Lord. And then they unburden themselves. And they express how nauseated they can be at themselves. And they realize they have a body of death within them. And they groan before the Lord. But it's not in despair, it's with hope. It's with anticipation and with expectation, because He has become their everything and they desire Him. Whatever the way of the Lord would be, they desire to be faithful to Him, to know Him more and more, and to love Him more and more. And to be sanctified more and more. For that's the purpose of life, is it not? For these people, the Lord has opened His table. It's for all kinds of people. For all kinds of people. The inhabitants of Jerusalem, the house of David, and house of Nathan, etc. It's for royalty. But it's also for common people. It's for rich people. It's for poor people. For all have sinned and they forfeit the righteousness and the glory of God. And yet, sinners are received by grace. Well, when you recognize this sorrow, you will also know that longing for Christ. For that's how the Spirit works. The aim is not your sorrow. The aim is not to get you downcast. The aim is Christ. And so when there's a true conviction by God's Spirit, there will also be light shining upon Christ. Then you desire Him. And then you belong to the people of Zechariah 12 who look upon Him whom they have pierced. Well, the fountain is opened for such people. And the table is opened for these same people. But if it may be that you do not have this godly sorrow, and you cannot say that you have an urging longing and love for the Lord, and an earnest desire for Him, if He has not become the aim of your life, then something is lacking. And you need to turn to the living God and to ask Him for these matters we're talking about. To ask Him for a godly sorrow. And to ask Him for light upon the Lord Jesus and His fullness. And to ask Him for love and dedication, devotion to Him. The Lord is willing to teach you that. He is a good God. He will teach you. What blessing that this fountain is now opened. It wasn't always open. Maybe you could say it was open in anticipation. The Old Testament, the sacrifices. And they pointed forward. They anticipated the coming of the Lord Jesus and the opening of this fountain. But the actual work, that the actual action had not yet happened. But it started when the Lord Jesus humbled Himself. And when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, and then from Emmanuel's veins, there flows a fountain of blood. And He opened that fountain on Calvary. And that fountain started to burst up when He said, "It is finished. It is accomplished. It is atoned. It is paid for." And then the curtain in the temple was rent in two pieces. And then His blood became a fountain opened for all sin and uncleanness. That fountain is indeed open. So that means it's not closed. There are fountains that can be closed. And then it doesn't burst anymore. It doesn't splash up anymore. And then, but if it's open, then the water comes forth. Well, if the water is spouting upward, it's open, then it's approachable. You can go to that fountain. It's open for you. For you, it's open. For all of us, the Lord is approachable. It's open for penitent sinners. It's open for sinners who grieve because they are not penitent enough. It's open for sinners who are groping in the dark, wondering who they are and where things shall go. It's open. And now we can't say there are obstacles now between the Lord and us. We can't say that there are certain requirements that we have to first meet. It's not that we have to fulfill certain conditions. Because that's not the case. It's an open fountain. It's approachable. And it never closes. It never closes on this side of the grave. And as long as the sun and moon are still shining, it never closes. It will be closed. When the Lord Jesus returns, then that fountain will be closed. Then there's no more grace. Then all people come before Him. And then His people will rejoice. And many will regret that they never went to that open fountain. Now is the time of grace. Now His invitations go out to come to Him, because He is approachable. Today, if you hear His voice, go to Him. He will teach you. Your mom and dad can't teach you that. The Lord has to teach you personally. And He will do that. Make haste for your life. Because if you're outside of Christ, you're wasting your life. And you are depriving yourself of the richest content of life. That's knowing this open fountain and drinking from it. Once you drink from this fountain, you want no other water. You need Him alone. And the Lord can take care of you. You may have a polluted soul. You're freely invited. You may have sinful pollutions in you. But He is ready to receive sinners. He complains when people do not come to Him. He complains about that. Oh, He has the power to draw sinners anytime He desires. He is God. He is not dependent upon us. We are dependent upon Him. But yet He complained that the people of Jerusalem did not want to come to Him after all the miracles He had done and all the signs He had given and all the exhortations He had shown to them. He wanted to have gathered them as a hen gathers the chickens. But they refused. That's their guilt. To be washed in this fountain, we are utterly dependent upon the drawing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are not washed in that fountain, then we ourselves are fully responsible and accountable and guilty. That's how it is. Because the Lord invites, and you may come. It's a fountain of full cleansing. A fountain gives an abundance of water. In Christ there is an abundance of life. An abundance of divine patience with His people. There's an abundance of reconciliation. It just keeps on flowing. There's a continual flow of reconciliation. Every day again you may come to this fountain when you have again sinned. And you have not done what you desire to do. But that which you did not want, that's what you did. You may go to this fountain. Every day again. Because every day again He is there. This fountain is pure. The continual flow ensures that the water will be purified. There's no impurity in the blood of Christ. He's a perfect fountain of purity. Stagnant water will go bad, but this fountain always remains fresh. The blood of the Lord Jesus is a fountain. It's always fresh, always new. There's life, salvation in Christ. Look how perfect the cleansing power of this fountain is. Look what the Lord Jesus did in the life of Saul, a persecutor, a terrible, vicious man who had done much evil to the church of Christ. Look what the Lord is doing now still. We may hear or read of conversions, of witnesses, of people who are powerfully converted because He is powerful. He is perfect. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. An innumerable multitude has already been purified by this fountain Christ. And they were all sinners. There was not one who asked for Him. He asked for them. And when He was asking for them and drawing them, then they started to ask for Him and call upon His name. But they've all been washed. And there's also room for you in the water of this fountain. How precious the Lord Jesus is. Everlasting significance. His blood is precious because He is precious. He is highly exalted. And over against Him, picture who you are. Often so unfaithful. Often not ascribing Him the honor that is fitting for Him. And you look at yourself. And then you should quickly look to Him. That He would cleanse you. And renew you. He covers your evil desires. The deceit of your lips. And it cost Him His blood. Suffering the wrath of God. He had to be crucified. He had to be forsaken of God. Precious Savior. That Thou hast opened this fountain of blood. It's a fountain. Because there's an abundance of love. That's the secret of it all. It's His love. The abundance of His love that we do not understand. The prophets wrote about this love of God. Moses witnessed the loving kindness and the grace and the mercy of God and also the severity of God against impenitent sinners. And in the Gospels we see His love portrayed to lepers, to a Canaanite woman, to a Samaritan woman, to a woman caught in adultery. Realize what it cost Him to be able to show that love. How great is His love. He had to drink to the last drop the cup of the wrath of God. And all God's billows went over Him. And He sank down in the waves of God's wrath. And there He had to drown. In order to rescue you. But the Lord pulled Him up out of the abyss. And He is now enthroned in glory. He lives forever. And His people will also live forever with Him. Oh, meditate then on this precious Savior as you may be at the supper. Amen. Shall we read the second part of the form for the celebration of the Lord's Supper? As you find on page 137. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted His Supper. Namely, that we do it in remembrance of Him, Now after this manner are we to remember him by it? First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly. From the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him, and finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood, the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. Secondly, and that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ in his last supper took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and have certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. As this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth, in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he is become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head, and in us as his members, might have true communion with him, and be made partakers of all his blessings, of life eternal, righteousness and glory. Besides that we by this same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the Holy Apostle saith, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together, one wine floweth, and mixeth itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be altogether one body, through brotherly love, for Christ's sake, our beloved Saviour, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word, but also in very deed towards one another. Here to assist us the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through His Holy Spirit. Amen. That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God, and with true faith implore His grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech Thee that Thou wilt be pleased in this supper, in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto Thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with His true body and blood, yea, with Him true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but He in us and we in Him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but Thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as Thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also Thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations, with uplifted heads, expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where He will make our mortal bodies like unto His most glorious body, and take us unto Him in eternity. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may be now fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of His heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with His body and blood, as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of Him. Shall we pray? What mercy, O Lord, that we cannot comprehend the greatness of Thy loving kindness in looking down upon us. We have not deserved it. It is Thy goodness, Thy mercy, Thy love, Thy kindness. O Lord, we pray, lift up our hearts unto Thee, for we are in all things dependent upon Thee. How can we enter into communion with the true body and blood of Christ through Thy Holy Spirit? How we need Thee. Wilt Thou bless this heavenly food and drink, and be in our midst, to the glory of Thy name, to the edification of Thy people. Amen. The bread which we break is the communion with the body of Christ. Receive this piece of bread and eat it. Remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken as a full remission of all our sins. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Receive this cup and drink of it. Remember and believe that the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was shed as a full remission of all our sins. How great is the love of God that He gave His Son to save sinners. We know it. We've heard it many a time. And yet the depths thereof cannot be fathomed. What God has done in order to save lost sinners as we are. And throughout the ages, God's children have adored and praised the Lord for His unspeakable gift. And we see here the signs of His cleansing, the signs of this fountain opened for sin and uncleanness. But at the same time, this bread is broken, this wine is poured out, and that reminds us that His body was broken and His blood was shed. He gave Himself for you. For Him it was a fountain of bitterness, of anguish. Nobody could drink of the waters that He had to drink of, but He did it because of His great love. And therefore God prepared a body for His Son, that He would be truly human, to come into this world so that He could take the guilt of His people upon Himself. And so He became the fountain opened for sin and uncleanness. How great His love, but also His compassion, that He did not want us to stumble on our self-chosen ways, to plunge into hell. But He said, I will take their place. That's His love and His compassion. And therefore, let it be our aim in life to seek to love Him more and more, and to know Him more and more, for He is worthy of everything. That our hearts will be focused upon Him who gave Himself. And then we confess, Thou, O God, in great compassion, will purge my guilt away. Blessed is the man whom Thou hast chosen and bringest nigh to Thee. It is a great miracle that God forgives sin. The prophet Micah says, who is a God like unto Thee that forgives iniquity? To forgive sin is something very difficult. Maybe you've experienced that something was happening in your life and that you had to forgive. How hard that can be. And we have sinned gravely against the Lord. And yet God forgives sins. In the past week, we were called to consider the abomination that lives within us. And the form for the Lord's Supper speaks about loathing oneself because of sin, and at the same time seeking life outside of ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we look at ourselves, we can become very frightful. When God's Spirit gives you insight in who you really are before the Lord, that will humble you. And then there's only one left. That's the surety, the Lord Jesus. That's where we need to be, at His feet. Because He removes the sins in this fountain, the uncleanness, the guilt, everything of what you may be ashamed of, He cleanses it. And it is right between you and the Lord. He gave up His only Son so that you could have hope upon life everlasting. That in a little while be admitted to be where He is, in His presence. And then no more sin, no more uncleanness, no more having to loathe yourself because of sin, but that it will be fully loving Him, honoring Him, and being continually refreshed in this fountain of this blessed Savior. Oh, how to thank Him. It will take an eternity. For He in the pain that you would be in deliverance, He in bondage so that you would be set free, He in darkness so that you would be in the light, He was covered with your uncleanness so that you would be covered with His righteousness. And therefore by all full deeds, so just and mighty, God saves us from our foe. To all who walk with Him uprightly, He will salvation show. And here we see, beloved, the signs of that which is actually impossible. How runaway sinners can yet be reconciled to God. We can never arrange that or manage that. No man can do that. No angel. Only God Himself. And therefore God had to become man. That's the impossible matter, to remove sinners from all their evil, and to renew them and to bring them into heavenly glory. We had cast ourselves off from God, and there was no return possible. We were doomed to have to perish forever. Let us never forget where we actually belong. When there may be afflictions in life, and there may be hardships, and there may be concerns or disappointments you go through, we'll never forget where we actually belong. And that is only God's mercy, that we may be here, that we may be here at the Lord's Supper, that we may live under an open heaven. Because that open heaven, that's the reality for a child of God. One to whom they may flee daily, with all their impossibilities and with all their shortcomings and sins. God was rich in mercy. He did not want you to perish. And this miracle is so great, we cannot grasp it. But when you see something of this, then your desire will be that the Lord will be glorified in your life, and that you would live totally dependent upon Him. That's how you want it to be. That He will increase and you will decrease. That He becomes your hope, your expectation. And in this life of dying to yourself and of rising up in the Lord Jesus, the moment will come when the Lord will say to you, "Come, ye beloved, and enter into the glory of thy Lord." And so the Lord already gives you now strength for strength and grace for grace, so that you may say, as you look at your life, "Thy goodness fills the earth, expressing the wonders of thy hand." Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise His holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart thus, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him, who hath not spared His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, and given us all things with Him. Therefore God commendeth therewith His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified in His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by His life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen." Congregation, in our thanksgiving prayer, we will also remember Brother Simon Cranendonk, who was taken away out of this service by an ambulance. We do not know his condition. Shall we pray? O Almighty, merciful God and Father, Thou who hast all power in heaven and upon earth, we commend unto Thee our brother Simon Cranendonk. And we pray, Lord, if Thou wilt be nigh to him, that could it be, Lord, that Thou wilt spare him and bless him, and yet make him a blessing in the midst of this congregation, the congregation which he has served for so many years. Lord, wilt Thou spare him and watch over him? Grant him and his wife Henny Thy grace. Wilt Thou abide with them in these circumstances? And if it is pleasing in Thy sight, wilt Thou gladden us by Thy deeds of deliverance? And so, Lord, we render Thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast of thine infinite mercy given us, thine only begotten Son for a mediator, and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son Jesus Christ should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him, through Jesus Christ thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayers. Amen.